God as a part of your basic everyday purpose in life? Do you view serving God as a basic purpose in your everyday life? I want you to think about that for a moment. You don't have to answer it out loud. But in living your life, do you view service to God as a part of your basic everyday purpose in life? In the scripture we see today, Joshua trusted God when others did not. Joshua didn't care what other fathers were doing, what other people were doing. He and his family were going to serve the Lord no matter what. And that no matter what in Joshua's day probably meant a lot more sacrifice than what it does today. Because, see, for him to stand up and claim that and live into that probably meant persecution for he and his family in a way that we probably don't face today. But that's what Joshua understood as his calling on his life from his God, from his Lord, from his Father. So, I want to share some things. These are things we've mentioned before, but I want to challenge you to think about this. I believe God provides opportunities for us to serve Him. I ask the question, do you view serving God as a part of your everyday purpose in life? And some people might say, yes, but Greg, I don't really know what to do. I don't know what it is God wants me to do. I just try to be a good person. I just try to do what I'm supposed to in my job. God, I believe, and I believe it because it's happened to me personally. I believe it because people come to me on a regular basis. I believe because more and more people in this church are now communicating with me about this, that if we are willing to listen, God gives us specific opportunities every day to serve Him. And it's true, you can serve Him in your job just by being the person God calls Him to be. You can serve Him by going to school and being the student God wants you to be. And those are good things. But it's more than that. When we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we understand God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God, through His Holy Spirit, speaks to us on a regular basis, and I believe a daily basis, and allows us to know specific ways He wants us to serve Him. And I believe that if we're really listening, there's at least one or more times every week that the schedule we have that we think we're going to be doing, God will cause us to veer from that and do something that we will be profoundly impacted by, as well as will others. But sometimes we're so focused and we use that word, and I believe it's a cop-out, that we're just going to live and be an example to others by doing all the right things. But we miss out on what God wants us to do. We miss out on God's blessing. We miss out on that relationship of understanding how intimate God desires to be in our lives when we don't respond to the specific calling God has for us to serve Him. And I'll just throw out a few examples of what serving Him might look like. It can be, Jesse shared last week about how he was leaving McDonald's, but there was somebody God wanted him to talk to. There can be particular people in your life that you aren't necessarily planning to, but God will lead you in that direction. There can be specific things that God wants you to do, to spend more time, to focus on. There can be things God wants you to sacrifice, and you don't even know why you're sacrificing it, to open up opportunities for something else, and then you discover what that is. But we need to be willing to respond to God and not think we're going to figure out on our own what it means to serve God. Now, Scripture and prayer lead us in those directions and enable us to be more open. But I promise you, God will speak to you and lead you specifically. So I want to ask you, as you think for a moment, and I'm not going to ask you to respond out loud, but really try to think, reflect for a moment on your past week. Where did you go? What did you do? Who did you meet? Who did you talk to? Think about that for just a moment. What was your past week like? And I want you to think for just a moment, is it possible you can look now and realize there may have been some opportunities you missed? Did you live your week to the fullest? Was your week, was my week, everything God desired it to be last week? Or did you miss some opportunities? Now I want to ask another question. Were there times that you did serve this past week? We don't want to harp on the negative. None of us in any given week are going to respond to everything God wants us to do. We're not God. We're human. We're going to fall short, and God gives us opportunity to do that. But were there times that you didn't fall short, that you did recognize what it was God wanted to do, and you followed through on that? Did that happen this week? If so, you need to celebrate that, not because of who you are, but who God is. And recognize that value of a Father's love that is beyond measure. And whether that thing you responded to was something of helping someone else, whether it was realizing it was a time of correction and God wanted to put you on a different path, or maybe it was a time of affirmation and God acknowledged that your worth in the midst of a time that you weren't feeling too worthy. But God gives you those opportunities every single week. My next question: how do you lead your family in serving God? How do you lead your family? And obviously this one's pointed today towards dads, but it can be for all of us. It can be for moms. It can be for children. Because children, too, lead their families in serving God. My boys, Caleb and Noah, have done it several times. So I don't want you tuning out if you're not a dad or if you're not an adult. This is for everybody. How do you lead your family in serving God? And first, I believe, is by being an example. And for dads, I don't know why we find this so difficult. I'm part of a men's group that meets on Thursdays, and we've talked about this somehow. And somebody asked me the other week, it said, Greg, do you have many dads, you have many fathers, you have many men that are active that show up as a part of your church? And we're a little light today because of people traveling and doing different things. But percentage wise, we have more men that are actively involved in our church than most other churches do. And I know because I'm familiar with a lot of other churches, and I'm thankful for that. But it's a common thing that men, for some reason, get tied up with religion, with God, with an idea of God's love being more of an emotional thing. And because if it's more of an emotional thing, it's supposed to be more of a feminine thing and more of a woman thing. And that's just not true. That's what culture tells us for some reason. But who God is not simply wrapped up in emotion. Who God is truth. And it enables us to live our lives in a way that impacts it differently. And if we really understand who God is and what God's love does, it calls for courage, manly courage, at times in our life. And it calls for courage from women and children too, but God's love is one that's specific to who we are. Faith is not a wimpy thing. And we need to understand that. So first of all, realizing that example of what it means to have a relationship to God and respond to God. But then also being an example of what it means to serve. To serve God through serving others. But then dads, I want to focus for just a minute on what it means to serve our families. I believe that I can point to several places in Scripture where it says this, and it talks about the priority of what's supposed to be most important in our life. The first thing, first and foremost, that's supposed to be important in our life is our relationship to God. Nothing else is supposed to come before that. Nothing. Second is church, right? Is church supposed to be the second thing? No. Church is a tool that enables you to work on that relationship with God. But my understanding of Scripture says that the second most important relationship is supposed to be that for dad, that with your wife, with your spouse. and then with your children. And then it continues from there. But there's so many things that get up in the way and put themselves before our family, before God. And one of those things, particularly for pastors, is church. For some men, it's their job. Their job becomes more important than their family. And they fool themselves by saying, my job helps me to provide for my family. But when the job takes on more priority than the family does, the family resents the job and loses relationship with the one that they desire the most. And in turn, even if you've got your priority right with putting God where it's supposed to be, you begin to lose the ability to serve an example of God in your life because the priorities aren't what they're supposed to be. So God comes first, and then spouse, and then children. And some of the children might be looking and saying, hey, wait a minute. I think I'm pretty important. Children are important. Children have needs. Children need to be taken care of, particularly infants. They aren't able to take care of themselves, but I'm telling you, husbands and wives, you need to make each other a priority. And I compare this to the whole idea that God is supposed to be first. If we make God first and God's more important than anybody else in our family, and that's hard to do because for most of us, family is important. And when it comes down to it, it's hard for most of us to not say family is the most important thing. And that sounds really good and it feels good. But I'm telling you, if your family is more important than God, you're shortchanging your family. Because the more important God is, the more love you have, the more understanding you have, the more insight you have, the more you are to be the husband or the wife or the mother or the father God calls you to be when you put God first. And the same is true for husbands and wives. When husbands and wives put each other first, they're more able to be the parents God calls them to be. They have more love to share. They're able to be more understanding. They provide an example. Let me share this story, and there's a lot of different ways to, it's not a story, just a few words. Dads, girls learn from you what it means to be loved. And there are a lot of girls that will in their lives, particularly if they haven't had a significant male role model, a strong connection there, go looking for that acceptance in other places. But if they have a dad who has told them how worthy they are and what they deserve, they're not going to settle for some guy that brings them a few trinkets and treats them like trash because they know they deserve more than that. And dads, your sons learn from you how they're supposed to treat a lady. And your words can tell them they're supposed to have respect, they're supposed to be encouraging, they're supposed to open a door for them. But they pay a lot more attention to the way they see you treat their mom or other women in their lives. And so they're learning from you how they're supposed to treat women, what they're supposed to think of women, what respect of a woman looks like. I believe these are key roles, key expectations God has for us in terms of serving Him, because when we're serving God in this way with our family, we provide that example for the next generation that's coming along behind us, and I'll tell you, the next generation needs it. So, I'll preach that mini sermon and leave it there for God to impress upon you as He sees fit. Next question. Do you desire to serve something other than God? This is a challenging question. Again, I'm not asking you to answer out loud, but I want you to think about it. What is it that's really most important in your life? Is there anything right now that's more important than God? What is it that demands your time? What is it that dictates how you spend your money, where you spend your time, people that you are trying to... What is most important in your life? I want to throw out some possible suggestions. It could be your job. For men, it typically tends to be. Because it's not just that the job is that important, but that's where they get their identity. And I've talked about this before. If you're having a conversation with another guy, I dare you to talk 2 minutes without one of those two people saying, what is it you do for a living? Can it happen? Very rarely. And you know why that happens? It's because men's identity is wrapped up in their job. That's not how it's supposed to be. Our identity is supposed to be in Christ. But when that happens and identity is in our job becomes the most important thing. Then that can relate to things like money. How important is money to you in your life? How important is position? With others looking at you, with you, you've got to carry yourself in a way that people know who you are, that people recognize you, that people know your name. And when you walk down the street, people point to you and say, yeah, I know him. That could be something that gets in the way of serving God because you're more worried about impressing other people. How about the pleasures of life? And this can encompass a lot of different things. It can encompass what has been preached about to teenagers for years, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, or whatever it may be, just the pleasures, things that make the body feel good. But it can also be other things. It can be materialism. It can just be wanting stuff. It can be wanting the nicest car. And I'm going to point to myself for a minute. I just had a really nice vacation. If I'm not careful, having a nice vacation can become something that's so important to me that it gets in the way of serving God. What is it that's important to you and creeping up there and maybe competing with your relationship with God? Maybe it's friendships. There are friendships that we have that become so important that we will not do what God's, or not be open to what God's leading us to do because we want to make sure that friendship, We're giving everything to that we could, and so we make that more important than God. Those are just some things. Last question. Are you willing to take a stand in your service to God? Are you willing to take a stand in your service to God? And that means, first of all, a relationship to God. But are you on a daily basis, every week, are you willing to say, God, I am yours. God, my purpose in life is to serve you. And God, I want to do that. And God, I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to commit myself to doing that. And God, I recognize that in doing that, it's going to enable my family to be more who you want me to be. It's going to enable me to be more the person in other people's lives I meet every day, that they'll be drawn to you. And God, I desire to serve you. And God, I realize that may mean serving you physically. That may mean using my hands. That may mean getting dirty. God, serving you at times may mean that I'm going to initiate or have relationships with people that maybe I haven't in the past, or maybe that I'm uncomfortable with. God, maybe it means that I'm going to move in a different direction. Maybe I'm physically going to move locations. Maybe I'm going to change jobs because this job is causing me not to be where you want me to be. If you want to hear a testimony about that, talk to Brenda Hawk. She talked to me last week. God spoke to her specifically about her job. There's another guy I know, doesn't even attend this church. It's really struggling with his job, and he's got a nice job, pays really well, but he's had some challenges in his life, and he's really serious about focusing on being the person God wants him to be, and he's wondering right now whether or not that means he needs to get himself out of the situation of very unchristian things he's exposed to every single day because of his job. Now, he's struggling. And I've had conversations about it, of whether he's where God wants him to be and he can be an example in the midst of the stuff that's not that Christian, or whether he's not strong enough for that yet and he needs to get out of that for right now so that he can grow. And he doesn't know the answer to that yet, but he's praying and asking that question. I can't give that to him, but he's struggling with it and he's seeking God, and we need to struggle daily, whether it's this or something else, to be who God wants us to be, where God wants us to be, with the people God wants us to be, and serve him in that way. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And we're going to close. We finished up a little bit earlier. That's my Father's Day gift to you dads. We're finishing up a little bit earlier than we usually do. But this is what I want you to think about. You said yay, didn't you? All right. This is what I want you to do, not just dads, everybody. I want you to get real, to think seriously. Do you want to be the type of man, the type of woman, the type of person, the type of young person that can truly say, I live my life with the purpose of serving God. And you want to hear God, because God's not going to play games with you. If you want that and you pray for it and you desire it, God's going to show it to you. I'm going to be here while we sing Good, Good Father. And He is good. He wants to be in conversation with you on a daily basis, 24/7. And you not have to play guessing games about what it means to be a daily servant of Christ. If you want to make a commitment that maybe you know you've been needing to make, or just realize today you need to, I'd love to pray with you about that, and I'll be right here. Or you don't need to come through me. The altar's open. Because of who Jesus Christ is, you can pray directly to Him. You don't have to come forward. You can pray right there. You can share it with someone else. There are people here that you can do that with. But I think coming forward at times is something God nudges us to do, so that we put that stake in the sand, and there are others who have been witness to that, and it's a reminder of commitments that we've made. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Father, as your Lord and Savior, today's the day you need to have a conversation about that and get that right and understand that He loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on a cross for you, so that you might spend eternity with Him, and that eternity begins now, not when you get to heaven. I'd love to talk to you about that as well. But respond as God would lead. Let's stand together and sing Good, Good Father.